flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
With all the melodrama with the Browns and the Deshaun stuff and the Stefanski and Barry and this, that, and the other, we've been, I don't want to say we've been lacking on the number two pick talk, but we have not gotten into it a whole hell of a lot. Well, we're going to change that up right now as we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You know him as a NFL draft and college football analyst for A to Z Sports. You know him from the First Team Pod, Ryan Roberts, joining us now. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas. How are you?
Doing very, very well. Thank you for joining us here. So I guess we'll start here. This is seen as a two-quarterback class at the top of the draft. I just am curious, how many quarterbacks do you think could actually go just in the first round in general, though?
Oh, man, it's a great question. I think three is the reasonable number right now. I think when you kind of just really kind of work through the board, and I know there's a lot of teams up top that do need a quarterback, so there's always the possibility that the demand is higher than maybe the supply in this situation. But I really just look at this class, and I think that it's – not as bad, but it is similar to like that 2022 group where we only saw one quarterback taken. I do think the top's better than, you know, Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, like that type of class, right? But I think that there's two for sure. Cam Ward, Shador Sanders will both go in the top 10 unless there's just a catastrophically bad draft process here. I think the other guy, though, is Jalen Milroe. I'm really just kind of taking a step back, knowing how NFL teams operate. I've heard nothing but glowing reviews on Jalen Milroe, the person. And I think that a lot of teams, a lot of scouting departments, a lot of coaches are going to convince themselves that, hey, all the inconsistency we saw in Alabama in the second half of the year, I can fix that. But I can't teach him being a 4.3, 4.4 athlete, having a strong arm. So I think number is three. I know there's going to be more conversations about guys like Jackson Dart from Ole Miss and a couple others, but I think that three is the magic number for me right now.
Yeah, I do wonder if the top two in particular are being dragged a little bit by the idea that there aren't that many quarterbacks beyond just what they are. And so I'm a big Shador Sanders guy. Tell me what you like about Shador, and if you think that at number two he's worth the pick.
Yeah, Shador, I think, took a huge step from 2023 to 2024. I thought 2023 was good, but there were some things that I really wanted to see remedy as far as, like, pocket management, the ability to, you know, more not improvise as much. I feel like he played a little too much hero ball in 2023. 2024 was much more within the structure, slide, step up in the pocket, get the ball out more consistently on time, and I think you really saw that. And he is, by every metric that I've seen, film that I've watched, obviously, I think he's the most accurate quarterback in the class, which means his floor is probably about as high as just about anybody in this group as well. Like, I feel good about what I have in Shador. The conversation between him and Cam Ward is going to go to, while Shador has the floor, does he have a ceiling near as high as a Cam Ward? So that's where like the interesting conversation. But if you want a guy that is accurate, that has consistently gotten better working within structure of an offense, has been better with pocket management and just the tragedies that we see in just some of these quarterbacks as far as the ability to not take sacks, to force bad turnovers. Like, we've seen Shador take a big step. So I think that accuracy, that floor is something that's going to be really attractive to a lot of teams.
Ryan, when it comes to Milroe, Ward, and Shador, if we get to the ceiling, how do you rank those three quarterbacks on just ceiling alone?
I think as a passer, it's still Cam Ward for me as far as like the ceiling, because I just think that while Milroe might even have a slightly stronger arm, at least it's a conversation, I do think that Cam Ward's ability to throw from multiple platforms still kind of raises his ability overall as a passer. So I think if it's just strictly as a passer, I think Cam Ward does have the highest of those three. But when you add in the fact, you know, the dynamic running ability, because like Cam Ward's a good athlete, like he can evade pressure. He can do some second effort things, you know, working outside the pocket and stuff. But he's not Jalen Milroe. He's not a 4-3 athlete. He's not a guy that you're going to run quarterback read with, quarterback power. Like, he's not going to do that all the time. So I think the overall package, I would go with Milroe. But for me, Cam Ward is the highest level upside passer in this class, just strictly of his passing skills.
All right. So what would you do if you're the Browns at 2 then? Would you take Shador? Would you move out, assuming that Cam goes number 1? And maybe that's a big assumption there.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. I mean, honestly, like, man, it's with what has happened with Watson in the Brown situation, I think you obviously took a swing, right? Like, before the whole legal issues with Deshaun Watson happened, he was a dynamic quarterback in the NFL, and he was a guy that worked out of structure a lot. He was a guy that was exciting with his legs. He just had incredible upside to him. So I would be okay with taking Shador. Now, what does the free agent market look like? Are the Browns in play for a guy like a Sam Darnold, for instance? Like, those questions still need to be answered a little bit. So that's the long of me telling you I would be okay with Shador if you weren't happy with any of the free agent options. But if you were okay with, you know, the 2-3-year contract of a Sam Darnold on a lesser note, but then taking the best player available, like a Mason Graham, or maybe if you want to pair a Miles Garrett with an Abdul Carter from Penn State, like something like that, I would be okay with that route as well. I just really think that it depends on what the Browns' perception is on the free agent market. Is Sam Darnold someone that they like enough that if he plays well during the 2 years, is he a guy that you give another contract to? Like, those are the questions I just don't really know as far as the Browns' perspective. But overall, I would be okay taking Shador, because I think as long as you have a good support system around him, because here's the big misconception on Shador from people that I've talked to. While he's kind of portrayed as this guy that, you know, social media and ruffles feathers and outspoken, I've only heard nothing but glowing remarks of him as a young man. So I'm not as worried about him coming into a locker room and being disruptive and all that type of stuff. I would be okay with taking him at number 2 if there was just not another guy out there that you were confident in at all.
Ryan Roberts, NFL draft and college football analyst for A to Z Sports, the First Team Pod as well, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So there is still the fact you could go somewhere else instead of quarterback there. I'm kind of fascinated by the Travis Hunter conversation. I think the idea is split on him. Do you think he's a shutdown corner and occasionally maybe a slot threat, or is he a elite wide receiver and occasionally you throw him out there in defensive sets?
He's a corner to me that can also play wide receiver in a limited capacity, because the way I look at it is it's either to do that wavelength of thinking compared to a full-time wide receiver that plays corner some reps. Like, it just kind of gets funky when it's that like, I feel like if you're a corner, you need to play corner, right? Like, you need a lot of reps at it. It's not something where you just run out there and do 10, 15 plays a corner a game. Like, it's much easier to do that as a wide receiver. And honestly, like, one of my scouting buddies that is with a team in the NFL right now, one of his favorite sayings that he gave to me one time was, there's a lot of receivers on earth that look like Travis Hunter, but there's not a lot of corners that look like him, right? That recovery speed, the ability to change direction, the ball skills, like, that's a little bit more rare on the defensive side of football, in my opinion. For me, he's a corner that if maybe a 2-minute drill or there's a big moment in a football game, then I could potentially give him some reps if that's the idea if that's the role that I have for him in my offense. But for me, he's a corner first, wide receiver second.
Browns have 9 total draft picks in this one. I'm thinking like a second or third round running back. They tell me that the running back class this year is absolutely stacked and loaded for multiple rounds. Is that true?
Oh, it is. Yeah. It has an argument. I think defensive tackle is another one that has an argument. Corner has an argument. But I think running back is probably the deepest that we've seen, probably since the Christian McCaffrey year, you know, where it was just kind of littered with first-round talents. I don't think it's quite as heavy on true first-round talents. But we're talking about heavy volume. There's a lot of guys in this class to get really excited about.
So, Ryan, Cam Scataboo was a huge hit in the college playoffs, and there's some debate on what he is in the NFL. Do you think he's an every down back in the NFL?
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't. I think that there is a role for Cam Scataboo, absolutely. I think he's a really physical runner. He'll block his butt off. I think he catches the ball pretty well as well. So, like, I think as a third down, bigger back, maybe like a Samaje Perine type as far as, like, just that role specifically, I think that he's an important part of a room. I don't necessarily look at him and say that is the number one, 1A, to a committee approach or even just a one in a legitimate workload perspective either. Like, I just don't think he is that because he's physical. He's got pretty nimble feet, but I just think he generally lacks explosiveness at the position. So I tend to look at him more as a important part of a room and a niche player than I do a full-time guy as far as being a lead ball carrier.
I want to go back to the quarterbacks for a second because I have to ask you about Jackson Dart. It's not something I would do, but a lot of Browns fans get excited about the idea of taking a quarterback a little bit later on in the draft. Is Jackson a good category fit for that or no?
I think Jackson Dart, like, he's the guy right now that I think is getting overhyped slightly. I actually like Jackson Dart for what he is. And for me, what he is a guy late day two, late third rounds, early fourth round. Like, I would take a gamble on him to be a – for me, he's at worst a very good backup option quarterback on the next level, but I'm not sure if it translates necessarily to a full-time starter. Like, I think he could be a stopgap, maybe a bridge type of dude, but I just don't necessarily see starter upside, at least on an extreme level. For me, he's a tough kid. He's very athletic. He was actually offered by many schools coming out of high school initially to play safety because his dad played safety at Utah, actually. So he's a really good athlete. And he is generally accurate, and he is very confident. But I just think there's a lack of arm strength there. Like, I see him try to drive the football. I think it's a little bit inconsistent. Ball flutters at times. And honestly, coming from that Lane Kiffin offense, it is very simplistic. Like, we've seen a lot of Lane Kiffin quarterbacks kind of come in the NFL and really struggle to understand, you know, full progression, setting protections, like that type of stuff. So I think the learning curve of the system on top of just the general lack of arm strength, I view him more as a mid-round guy that could develop and at least be a really good backup quarterback, but I don't necessarily see him as a long-term guy that could potentially transform a room, if that makes sense.
Ryan, real quick, national championship game coming up on Monday. Who do you like? Yeah. How do you see that game going?
Who do I like? I'm trying not to let my bias get away here, guys, because obviously I've been a Notre Dame fan my entire life, right? And I will be rooting for them heavily. I think Ohio State is the better team on paper as far as more talent, just flat out. There is something unique about this Notre Dame team, though, because they just play with a little bit of urgency, man. They play a little bit just angry all the time. So maybe it's the fandom kicking in. I'm going to pick Notre Dame. I'm a Notre Dame fan that was born in 1991, so at some point the suffering needs to end for me, hopefully. Hopefully it's on Monday, because I'm hoping that we have a close, hard-fought game, which I think it will be. I think that they definitely cover the spread. I mean, I think it's down to like 8 points at this point. I think they definitely cover, but I think Notre Dame can win. They just need to turn it into an ugly game. They can't let this turn into any type of shootout or a high-scoring game. They can't beat Ohio State at that game. But if they make the game ugly, I think they could potentially win that one.
Well, Ryan, I've heard that if you are suffering as a Notre Dame fan, I've heard there's a guy for that. I think they got a guy for that.
Yes, I might need it if they lose this game, man. So we might have to get there eventually, but hopefully not.
Ryan, really good stuff, buddy. Appreciate your time. I'm sure we'll be talking to you down the line there. Enjoy the national championship game, just not too much.
Yes, thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Ryan Roberts there, college football and NFL draft analyst for A to Z Sports. Also, check out the First Team pod on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. The cost of the number two pick and reaction to Ryan at 322 on 92.3 The Fan.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.